not perish from the earth. The world will little note nor long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here. That fits in so many places. Think about what we're contemplating at Grace that God has in store for us. That Grace may soon merge its legacy with another church. But God will never forget what was done here. You know, this could almost fit the sacrifice of Christ in the Great Commission, Matthew 28:19-20. I know you all know that. Go therefore and make disciples of how many nations? All nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. Amen. Jesus says amen. You know, it is for us, the living, this is the quote, it is for us the living rather to be dedicated here to the unfinished work which they who fought here have thus far so nobly advanced. It is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us. What Lincoln wrote, like I said, fits so aptly in talking about Jesus and the apostles and what they did. We the living are to be dedicated. Now, what does dedicated mean? It means devoted. Wholeheartedly, everything we have devoted or committed to a goal, a cause, or a job. To give it everything that we have. Okay, dedicated to what? Well, the unfinished work. Now, for Lincoln, that was the end of slavery, the reunification of the Union. But what about the holy work of Jesus? If you can, real quick, flip over to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Great Dr. Luke has something to share for us. Verses 1 and 2. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen. Now Luke appears to be saying that the work of Jesus was not finished. But now you might say, wait a minute, what was that thing on the cross? Jesus said, it is finished. And you'd be right. While Jesus' work was done, i.e. the cross, the work of Jesus sharing the gospel was not and is not finished. There will come a time when the work of Jesus will be finished, and we find the answer in the book of Revelation. That is a message for another day. As Lincoln said, which they who fought here have thus far so nobly advanced. Now what does nobly mean? Courageously, bravely, gallantly, splendidly, superbly, magnificently. And of course, Lincoln is referring to the soldiers who fought to end slavery and reunify the nation. However, once again, the same could be said of the apostles and the followers of Jesus right up to today. Because here can be anywhere believers are called to share the words and cause of Christ. Which they who fought here have thus far so nobly advanced. What does nobly mean? Well, that's what I wrote. But nobly advanced, Candy and I were involved in that in Rio de Janeiro at the Olympics. That was a battle. And it wasn't a deadly battle, but it was a spiritual battle. Because everywhere you go to share God's word like that, trust me, somebody doesn't want to hear it. And somebody doesn't want you there. And you'll be attacked spiritually. To do the right thing for Grace Baptist Church, we have been and will be attacked spiritually. Timothy and I were chatting before church on this very issue of how, you know, you do something and you just know within a certain amount of time that you're going to be attacked. You know, you do something for the Lord. But the key is to always remember who our Lord is. He's the big guy, not the one who is attacking. This is our first fill-in today. Christians are being martyred every day around the world. And they're being martyred for nothing more than being believers in Jesus Christ. But the apostles, as the apostles continued the work of Jesus, we also are commanded to continue the work of Jesus Christ. Well, Pastor, it can be really hard. Yes, it can. There's not a disclaimer there. You know, go forth, teach, command, baptize, and do everything. But if it gets really, really hard, go ahead and take a pass. Jesus doesn't give us that option. You know, and the scary thing is, how dare we, all of us, as Christianity in the faith, even think about, oh, this is so tough, when nobody is hammering nails through your body and sticking you on a tree. And even though not one of us, not all of us, are called to face impossible or extreme odds, each and every one of us as believers are called to grow in Christ and to share the gospel. And I challenge everybody here to try to share in some way this week Jesus Christ. And it might be as simple as asking to pray for someone as you go through the drive-thru or sit at a restaurant. Try that sometime if you haven't done it. It's incredible. I did that. There's a farmer boy's in Rancho Cucamonga, and I was going through there and getting breakfast one day, and I asked a young lady who was at the window, you know, can I pray for you? And she was like, wow, yeah, very cool. I said, what can I pray for you? And she said, well, I'm looking for a new job, and could you help me pray for that? And da, da, da. Well, it just so happened, Doug and I were coming back for lunch that day. And so we walk in, and when another lady behind the counter turned to the lady that I had met at the window that morning, and she goes, is that the one? And she goes, yeah. So she came over to me and she said, could you pray for me too? And Doug goes, is that one of the ladies from your church? And I said, Doug, I've never met her in my life. But I had asked to pray for her friend that morning. Really? I said, yeah, really. And so I prayed for both of them. But you can do that. And before you once again convince yourself how hard it will be, you're only being asked to ask someone if you can pray for them. You're not being asked to face a gruesome death like Christ or nearly all of the apostles and the many martyrs that have faced even death in modern times. But we need to advance the work of Christ that, as Lincoln said, has so nobly been advanced. You're to be part of that faithful nobility. And just by doing that, you have no idea where that person might be at that time. They could just really appreciate it, or they could have something really tough going on, and just the fact that a stranger would say, "Can I pray for you?" might do something really important in their lives. So please think about that this week. The final line of the Gettysburg Address, it is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us. We are not here to dedicate anything, but we are to be dedicated to the great task that is before us. For Christians today, that task is as it has been, sharing the gospel of God and Jesus Christ and helping to make the rapture as crowded as possible, which is Daryl Lackey's favorite saying. He says, that's our job description, to help make the rapture as crowded as possible. That was our mission statement at First Baptist Upland. And I love it. Let's look at Romans 5, 6 through 8. For while we were still helpless, at the appointed moment Christ died for the ungodly. For rarely will someone die for a just person, though for a good person perhaps someone might even dare to die. But God proves his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So that kind of handles that question that's meant to throw us off, you know. Why would a loving God allow this to happen? And why doesn't God do something? He did something. He sent his son to die for the sins of all humanity forever. So we talk about full measure of devotion. Just what does that mean? Well, it means to perform a task as well as you can. To give everything you have to it. As President Lincoln said, those who died gave their best to the end with their last full measure of devotion. Because of Lincoln's speech, you know, we commonly think that it means a person died doing something with meaning, and that is totally justified. But we also tend to think that this just means members of the military and fighting in a war. But in that ultimate sacrifice, I would like to include in the roll call members of law enforcement and the fire service. These are all people who, they not only swear to defend the Constitution and our laws and us, but what goes along with that oath is they are swearing and volunteering to die to accomplish the task. If necessary, to give their last full measure of devotion to humanity. Let's go back to our verses in Romans, verse 6. For while we were still helpless at the appointed moment, Christ died for the ungodly. Christ, the Creator God, came to earth in human form, and he suffered and died for his creation, us. Throughout history, there are stories about people or a person who died so that others might have a chance to survive. One of the best examples of those are those who fought in Korea, in the Korean War. You know, to this day, South Korea honors those who fought and in many cases died for them. The Koreans had, and still do, by and large, have a hard time understanding why round-eyed young men from the other side of the world would come and sacrifice themselves to protect the people of South Korea. In their hearts, they knew that they did not deserve this help. But they have stayed loyal to the memory of those who willingly gave their full measure of devotion to protect them. Adrian? Dad's video.
We have been referred to as living in the shadow of the greatest generation, and it's true. For me, I invested. It doesn't mean a lot whether anybody said welcome home or not. But the guys who were drafted, most of them were just out of high school, and they had plans for their future. And it was jerked away from them. Far too many of them lived with that for the rest of their lives. Far too many of them lost their lives. You begin to wonder why nobody here cared about that. Nobody really cared.
The patriotic goal at the college is for students to have an understanding of American heritage, civic responsibility, love of country, and a willingness to defend it. It's something that's really woven into the fabric of our everyday lives here. The patriotic education travel program here at College of the Ozarks, in sum, is really an opportunity for students to be paired with veterans and travel to the places where they have actually served. And they learn from the people who actually did the hard work, literally in the trenches on those foreign battlefields.
As a student at C of O, I was blessed with an opportunity to getting to hear their stories.
It's not just a trip all about sightseeing and having fun. Each day that they're on these experiences, they write a blog post. And they even take turns sharing instructionally along the way.
I don't think I said three words that wasn't recorded by somebody. They documented everything. My gosh.
These are stories that are hard to find in books.
For once, somebody wanted to listen. And they wanted to listen for 12 days. And they're going to tell somebody.
Seoul is one of the largest cities, largest populations in the world. And when these guys were there last, it was almost nothing. And so seeing them and the pride that they had.
What I saw was a miracle. We gave them individual freedoms that they have prospered and done well with. My gosh, they're one of the leading industrial nations in the world. And they have freedom, and that's something special. And I thought, you know what? That makes us pretty special.
The people of South Korea, when they saw our guys wearing Korean War hats or military pins, just this emotion of gratitude from these people.
I've had them stop and ask me to pose for pictures with their family. They teach their children about these kids that came from 8,000 miles away to give them freedom.
I'm a school teacher, and I'm able to pass on this connection that I have with these veterans. I'm going to share their stories and bring these things to life with some of my kids. I love being able to impact them the way that I was impacted by these vets.
We traveled to Korea in 2013, but those students have graduated and moved on. And we were looking for an educational opportunity for our current students.
I know of the Korean War. I think a lot of people, especially on this campus, know of it, but they don't know too much about it, and that's the problem.
Recently, we had the opportunity to interact with a Korean War veteran, Mr. Herbert Kozort of Nixon, Missouri. Mr. Kozort has 8 children, and I think half of them attended college here.
I'm from Busan.
Busan.
Yes, sir.
We landed in Busan, and that next night, we were shooting at each other.
Mr. Kozort, he grew up in Wiseman, Arkansas.
I'm Raymond Hunter, and I'm from Horseshoe Bend, Arkansas. Really close to Wiseman.
He was just like me. When I talked to Mr. Kozort, it was like maybe talking to another version of me.
They airdropped us supplies. They just dropped cans of old beans and weenies and corned beef hash. Who's going to fight for the corned beef hash? Dog wouldn't eat that stuff.
How old were you, Mr. Kozort, when you went to Korea?
20, I guess.
20?
I was in the 2nd Division whenever the war started.
Oh my gosh, I could only imagine. You know, you're working on the farm, maybe just you and your family, and all of a sudden you're being shipped over to a different country.
Never heard of Korea before then. Doing what was told, I guess. I don't know. Wanted to get out of there the best way he could.
He didn't know why he was serving at the time. He just served, and he just did what he was supposed to do.
Was there any point while you were serving that you just thought about giving up?
Yeah. Cold and hungry, you just bounce and get over with. How I got out of there, I don't really know. Look, I guess.
So he talked about how most of his friends didn't make it. Only 11 of them were able to make it out alive.
We lost 5,000-something men there in 1 or 2 days. At full strength, 140-something men, probably, in a battery. And there's 11 of us got back to Seoul. There were a few, several of them were taken prisoner, but they died in POW camps.
How do you think that impacted your life after war?
Oh, you think sometimes, how comes me? and I never got a scratch. Just wonder why you got picked and nobody else did.
What was it like when you came back home from Korea in the United States? Was there any like celebrations or?
Nothing.
Nothing?
They didn't.
Nobody celebrated.
There wasn't anybody there to meet the boat. It's just another day, really, coming back from Korea.
To come back and not get respect from the people or be forgotten, you just really hope that never happens to someone again. And I think that's what College Over the Ozarks is about, is, you know, bringing up these experiences with that generation in the Korean War before, you know, that generation is gone.
School of history doesn't talk much about it. They've hardly at all mentioned it in history books about the Korean War. And it's called the Forgotten War.
Yeah, I mean, it is important to, like, remember histories and important to remember, like, what people did, like, sacrificing their, like, you know, part of time, like, to, like, serve it for their country.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for Mr. Kozart's life. Lord, we just thank you for his willingness to serve and to minister to us as students and allow us to learn from him. And we thank you for the opportunity to visit with him today.
As I was sitting and talking with him, I realized there were a lot of things I don't know. And it did kind of spark my interest, and I want to learn more about the Korean War and honestly all the wars that America has served in.
When I got back from that experience with Mr. Kozart, I actually got on Google and started looking about the Korean War and how that all happened.
Well, Herbert, thanks for letting us come and visit with you today.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure to get to know you.
Thank you so much for sharing your story.
Thank you for your service.
Good that they learn more about it, maybe. Maybe pass it on down.
I think it's incumbent upon us as Americans to share their stories.
Whenever I talk about our Korean War, history will be like part of my story.
For a school with a patriotic goal, it is only fitting that we have memorials here so that our students can have a constant reminder of those who have gone before them.
I've had the opportunity several times to be up there with veterans, and they are finding names of their friends, and they say, "I served with him." And they tell you his story.
We are very happy to give long overdue honor to the Korean War veterans who will be forgotten no more, not at College of the Ozarks.
This country paid with 36,000 American lives and almost 1,000 from the state of Missouri alone. These veterans, like all veterans, are due our respect.
I'm glad they done it. Got a Second World War and Vietnam deal down here, so why not Korea?
Here, there will be lasting impact. This will go on forever. This kid's going to say, "Mom, what's this about?" And then they're going to have a plaque there to read. They will know and they will see what sacrifice really looks like. This place is special.
The backbone of patriotic education is ensuring that the legacy of our heroes is preserved.
There's no other nation on earth that has furnished as much of its treasure and blood, its precious blood, as the United States in support and defense of liberty in other places. Nobody. We don't tell people. They don't know. They should. And here, this will help in their learning experience.
As students, reading a textbook, watching documentaries, you know, you only get really a little bit of the picture. But then when you're talking to someone and they're saying, "This is what I experienced, this is what I heard or smelt or witnessed," it is the closest thing you can get to actually experiencing it yourself. And I hope the college never stops giving us experiences that allow us to understand life in a beyond the textbook way.
Mr. Kozart passed away last year. But during the 50th anniversary of the Korean War, back around 2001, 2, and 3, I'd wanted to take Dad over there, because they were doing lots of tours for veterans and everything. I thought I'd be a good son, and that would be good. Candy and I had been over there on a mission trip, and, you know, just, wow, how they revere you know, they're okay with the military today from the United States, but they revere those who fought in the Korean War. So I want to take Dad. And I thought it was a good idea, and I called Dad, and I said, hey, Dad, this is what I want to do. He said, nope. Yeah, but Dad, I really want to do this. I really don't want to go. But Dad, I really, really want to do this. He said, I really, 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 really don't want to go. Fine. Don't go. College of the Ozarks is just over the hill from where Dad lives in Forsyth, Missouri. And he does a lot of work with them on this issue, on veterans' issues and the Korean War and things like that. He was one of the, when they broke ground there, you saw that line of guys with the shovels. My dad was there. He was one of the ones to help unveil the Korean War Memorial. He's been very, very involved with the school. So when they wanted to take Dad as part of that group you saw to Korea, he said, I got to call and see if my son says it's okay. And they're like, excuse us? And then he told them the story. Bill? Yeah, it's your dad. Sounds like you. College of the Ozarks wants to take me to Korea for war memorial thing. Okay, awesome. You should go. And so he went and had a really good time. But as he said, and I love the quote right there, there's no other nation on earth that has furnished as much of its treasure in blood, its precious blood, as the United States. And think about the truth of that. We have never been a nation of conquest. People try to pretend that we have, but we've really never been a nation of conquest.
Oh, well, what about Texas? What about this? What about that?
By the way, Texas wasn't a conquest. The Texans are the one that beat Mexico. But be that as it may, in modern times, we have been a nation of saving and protection. But why would a young man like my dad, Richard Peters, who served three tours in the Navy, or so many veterans of World War II, Vietnam, Desert Storm, name your war, why would they volunteer to go and fight? Could it have maybe just been a little bit of the Christian heritage of America in there somewhere? What do I mean by that? And it's, well, the sense of right and wrong, the sense of fair play, and the understanding that the weak need to be defended by the strong. God has graced this nation with a strength that is beyond all measure in the history of the world. And we have managed to use it for defending the weak, not to steal from the weak. Christ died for the ungodly. Why would he do that? Those fighting the Korean War died for people who did not believe in the way of life as we did. They did not understand their duty and devotion to their fellow man like we did. And I don't care what you may say, that understanding of care and devotion to our fellow man only comes from Christianity. It doesn't come out of any other faith or belief as strongly as it does in Christianity. No other religion teaches those precepts. Sadly, America is losing that inherent understanding, as evidenced by how worthless life has become today. Do you realize that the United States of America, the land of freedom, has allowed and continues to allow one of the greatest periods of mass murder in the history of the world? Yes, I'm talking about abortion. That's a message for another day. But let's go back to verse 7 in Romans 5. For rarely will someone die for a just person, though for a good person, perhaps someone might even dare to die. Well, let's take a look at William Kyle Carpenter. He was the 8th living veteran of U.S. combat in Iraq and Afghanistan to receive the Congressional Medal of Honor, the nation's highest military award. Carpenter lost most of his jaw and an eye when he fell on a grenade to shield a fellow Marine from the blast. He was labeled dead on arrival at a field hospital, but he fought his way back. spent 2.5 years in a hospital as doctors worked to rebuild his body. But if you think he's bitter, think again. Carpenter says, "I look back and I'm actually very appreciative I had those 2.5 years, because those years put things in perspective more than a whole lifetime of things could. The enemy killed me, and I came back. I ran a marathon. I completed a mud run. I jumped from a plane. I won't ever quit. I'm just getting started." Carpenter retired from the Marine Corps as a corporal and became a student at University of South Carolina in Columbia. Semper Fi. Dr. J. Vernon McGee says this in his commentary on verse 7, and I love this. He says, "Do you know any folk who would die for you? Maybe, maybe not. But all of humanity," he writes, "all of humanity, past, present, and future, they know, whether they want to recognize it or not, that there was at least one person who was and did willingly die for them." Law enforcement officers and firefighters face the potential every time they leave home and go to work that they might not return. I can tell you that that is not, it's not a conscious thought. You know, they don't walk out the door going, "Oh my goodness, what if I don't come home tonight?" But it's there in their mind. It's always in your mind. Every day I went out on the street, my goal was to not was to go home at the end of my shift and not by way of a hospital. I was about 99% successful. You know, when I was working at LASD and patrol in Duarte, my partner Laura Sandoval and I, we had a call of a prowler one night. So we rolled up and we got there, and our assisting unit was coming, but they weren't there yet. And so we did our due diligence, you know, we did our officer safety, and we searched the house, we searched all around, couldn't find anything. Our sister unit rolled up, and we told them what was going on. When one of them looked at the garage, there was a tree that just covered the garage roof, and he thought he had seen some movement. And so he yelled, "You know, whoever's on the roof, you get down, you know." And so that person ran, jumped off the roof, and took off. And they got away. But what was stunning is that all four of us stood there after we all got back and were discussing what had happened and everything. All of us kind of realized at the same time that had that person had a weapon and been intent on killing us, we would have never heard the bullets that put us in the grave. If you want something to bring reality to the fore of your head, that's one to think about. If they'd have wanted to, there'd have been four deputies dropped in that front yard, and we wouldn't have been able to get our guns. It wouldn't have mattered. We would have been dead. You know, Christ calls us as believers to give our full measure of devotion to Him and the work of sharing the gospel. Now think back to the story about what Corporal Carpenter said. "The enemy killed me." This is this is what the lack of salvation does to people. Satan's lies are killing people for eternity every day. Carpenter says he's just getting started and he won't give up. Now you may ask, how do I give my full measure of devotion to the Lord? It's a simple answer: by being devoted to Him, by working to share the message of saving grace through Jesus Christ, by reading and studying daily, by praying daily. But Pastor Bill, that's hard. Yeah, it is. I fail at it. But the point is to keep trying and not to give up. Navy SEALs, the best we have, say that, you know, you're only out of options when you're dead. We have options. We should always be looking for them. Then out spake brave Horatius, the captain of the gate, to every man upon this earth, death cometh soon or late. And how can a man die better than facing fearful odds for the ashes of his fathers and the temples of his gods? Horatius, as the poem goes, stood with two other volunteers. He was the captain of the gate. He had asked for volunteers. Two people in the town said they would help defend the city's gate. And the rest of the town was nervous because there were like several thousand invaders coming up. It was a narrow bridge. And there they stood, the three of them. And they were able to fight off the enemy for a considerable amount of time. They did all eventually die. But they gave their last full measure of devotion to defend that city. God only asks us to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, some have been asked to give the full measure of devotion for God throughout history, and will as we continue. Right now, this moment around the world, a Christian is being murdered because they believe in Jesus Christ. And God bless them, and I hope I get to meet them in heaven for their faith. Hopefully none of us here will be asked to do that. But even if we are, even if we just do what we've been asked to do, this is what I want to hear. We should all want to hear this in heaven, don't you agree? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee rule over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Don't you want to spend eternity in the joy of the Lord? As the angel comes to close our day with music, you know, it's easy. All you have to do is give yourself to him. Admit you're a sinner. Ask him to come into your life. Forgive your sins. Recognize him as your Lord. Maybe we just need to repent. Ask for forgiveness. He's such a forgiving, gracious God. But what are you doing to give your full measure of devotion to your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ?